Welcome back to Brother Time. Brother Time does not offer medical, financial, or any other kind of professional advice or opinion. This is just us talking about things we want to talk about, so take it with a grain of salt.
Huh. What? So I heard you say welcome back to Brother Time.
Yeah. That's what AI told me to say.
Okay. Okay.
I had a catchphrase. I like this one. Everyone you fight is not your enemy. Everyone who helps you is not your friend. That's a quote by Mike Tyson, a man of few words.
A hungry man. Very hungry.
He's hungry. What do you mean by that?
Well...
Oh, because he bites it. Yeah. Never let that go.
He got into a fight with Van Gogh at some point.
Oh, that just connected some dots for me.
Yeah, you didn't know that's how Van Gogh lost his ear, but it is. So,
I'm Isaac, 5 of 10, and well, shoot,
what's wrong? Is it all the text that AI gave you? It's too much.
It says introduce personal anecdote. Or relevant fact.
A relevant fact?
Oh, no, it just said introduce. But I had one and now it's gone. Can we cut for a second?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh no. I'm Isaac, 5 of 10, and other people would say that I'm a safe driver. Actually they would say that I drive like a grandma. Too defensive, too slow.
Yeah.
90% of the time.
Yeah, I'm Josh, 8 of 10, and I've got to say it'll be similar because I tend to be a safe driver. The thing is I find safe drivers kind of annoying sometimes. But here's the thing. There's a difference between being safe and indecisive. I don't like indecisive drivers. Drivers that the way I perceive it, is it's like this is their first time on the highway. They have no idea what's going on. They don't know where they're going, but they're just there because life somehow, the pieces of life have fallen in place that they are on this highway at this time. Should they be in the lane they're in? Who knows? Like, they don't know if they should be in that lane. That's how I perceive some drivers.
Those are the worst. They are really... It's like, why are you in the left lane? Not because you're passing. No.
Nope.
That's just where life puts you.
Yep.
That's where life puts you.
Just where they happen to end up. And they're okay with that. I'm not okay with it. I don't like it.
Yeah. That made me think of, I drive safely. I don't go slow in the left lane, though. If I'm passing someone, one, I try not to make sure there's no one coming up from behind in the left lane going really fast.
Yeah.
Because I'll just let them go by and then get over in the left lane and pass. Because there's no, I don't know, I wouldn't want that person to like go in the right lane and try to go around me. I'd rather just wait.
Yeah.
But there are some people who think, I'm just in the left lane. This is where I want to be. This is where God put me. This is where the fates have told me to be.
Yeah.
It just happened. I'm here. I'm going the speed limit. You can't get mad at me. Yes, we can. We can get mad at you.
Yeah, the thing is they probably don't, they just don't care nearly as much as I do about driving etiquette.
I think it's one level lower than that. I think they're just unaware. I think you're right in like that they're new, but I think like in their brain they're new, if that makes sense. Like they're just not
babies.
Aware of the world.
Their brain is like a baby's brain.
Empathy is not developed fully.
Yeah. If you were to stand in front of them and put your hands in front of their face, they would be like, or in front of your face, they'd be like, where'd you go? I can't see you.
There are other cars on the road, but there aren't other people. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're just, those are other, there are cars on the road, but what do you mean there are people? Yeah, there are people in those cars and they have their own place they're trying to get.
Yeah, I will often refer to the other cars as just cars while I'm driving, but that's mostly me. Like, I don't want to direct my anger towards people. I want to be like
this Jeep, this Jeep beep beep.
Yeah. Oh, this BMW car. BMWs are always riding my tail. They're always like right behind you, but then when you move out of the way, they go the same speed that you were going.
Oh, well, what I like to do in that case is when I get over, as long as there's like two clear lanes ahead, I speed up. There's a psychological thing with that too, where you could get someone to go really fast. I mean, oh, you could get someone to go up to like over 100 miles an hour before they realize what's happening, because we can't really visually, we can't see speed that well. So we're when you do that, when someone's tailgating you and you get over, their instinct is to speed up, right? And the only way they're gauging their speed is by your car speed. So if you accelerate at the same time, they'll just accelerate more and more and more until they're going.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's kind of the opposite of what I've noticed people do. Wait, did I phrase that right? What I mean to say is, like, I'll get in the right lane to pass someone who's slow. They'll speed up. Like, the person in the left lane that is going slower than I want to go.
Because they realized.
Yeah, they're like, oh, wait. I'm only going
55.
Get back in the left lane. And then they gradually slow back down to the original speed. It's like they don't want anyone in front of them.
Life is a race. They're winning. They're winning.
Yeah.
And how to gauge that is to make sure you're losing. But let's lose over this break. Did you start a break?
Yeah. Well, we just finished a break, I think.
Oh, man, that was quick. So there was a study done recently about, it's kind of like a placebo study, which I think are some of the most interesting. But what they did is they told 10 out of 20 for each group, hey, this shake is really bad for you. This milkshake we're going to feed you, it's high in sugar, it's high in fat. But we're going to test you before and after and see the effects on your body. And they told the other 10 out of 20 people for each run, we're giving you this shake. It's high in calcium. It's got 17 essential minerals in it. It's high in protein. It's high in good fats. We're going to test your blood work before and after to see its effects.
Okay.
And consistently, the people who were told it was bad for them beforehand, their blood work showed that it was bad for them.
Okay.
And the people who were told it was good for them, their blood work actually showed that it healthier outcomes from drinking the shake.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So your brain has some ability to anticipate and expect things out of things and adjust, I think, accordingly. I don't actually know. I don't think the scientists know why that happens yet, but I think it's your perception.
Yeah.
Some people will get kind of, I think it's a little nutty to be like, oh, your brain controls the world around you. We're in the Matrix. I don't think it's like that. I think your brain can anticipate things and be ready for them.
Yeah. I mean, surely it wasn't like a full offset. If it was an unhealthy shake, it didn't suddenly become a healthy shake.
No, they even obviously. Like further studied it. And that's true. Like it won't work if you're eating ice cream and you say, these vegetables are really delicious and healthy for me. It's not like you get the effects of vegetables.
This is oddly shaped broccoli. Tastes pretty good. Yeah.
Broccoli ice cream is the, anyways, there's truth to that. It actually has to be somewhat, there has to be truth to what you're telling yourself. Like there is calcium, there is good things about what you're eating, but you can also have I guess the point is you can have worse effects by telling yourself that what you're eating is bad for you.
Oh,
if that's not 100% true. That's what I took away from it is like, if you're sitting down and you're eating Greek yogurt and you're like, so bad for me, you in your head, you may actually be making it bad for you.
Yeah. To some extent. I mean, it's not like your body's going to forget how to process proteins or something. And what, this is fat, isn't it? Yeah, it's fat. I think it's fat.
Right. Greek yogurt is, I think, fat free for the, well, now they have whole Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
Which is, anyways.
That's really interesting though. So it's like your what is it, your outlook on what you're doing. I feel like I kind of knew that in terms of if you have a positive outlook, it can positively affect your health, whereas negative can negative. I think that's probably the underlying cause, wouldn't it be something like that?
I don't think they actually figured out the underlying cause yet. It was just,
I guess I'm assuming that when they told them it was a bad shake, before they took it, people started being like, oh man, dang it. And like someone like threw down their textbook, because you know this is obviously a classroom and the teacher is the one giving them the shake, and they like slammed their textbook closed in frustration and just threw papers in the air. Of course, that could be seen as a celebration to throw papers in the air.
Yeah.
So it's hard. It's maybe hard to they say.
Lit the papers on fire first or something. I don't know. Well, that's still a celebration type thing. It's like fireworks.
How do you tell if it's a riot or if it's a celebration? That's what I want to know. Because sometimes I see like videos of riots going on, like maybe in the news, and I'm like, what are they celebrating?
Yeah, it's like whose team won the soccer game.
Oh, or, yeah, you know, that's actually a lot closer to struggling to discern. Some people feel so strongly about soccer.
And their team won, and they're destroying the city.
Just destroying everything.
Yeah, celebrate. They're just looking for papers to throw in the
air. I wonder if there's just a lot of betting going on, and so they won a lot of money because of the win, and that's why there's, I guess I'm trying to say I don't understand sports in that extreme of a reaction, of an emotional reaction to it. I just don't. I watch games sometimes, and I'll have our team that I'm hoping wins, but if we win or lose, I'm not gonna run outside and start burning my neighbor's house down, you know?
Yeah. I think the part of that is like maybe it ties into another topic, but
yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's think about it over break. I was kind of thinking that stuff maybe happens because we like are the first world lives in a certain amount of comfort. And we've like distanced ourselves from the difficulty to build this world of comfort to some degree. Like no one's thinking when they shatter that glass, like all the work that went into making that glass. They just see there's glass everywhere. Everyone else is shattering it. I should be able to celebrate by shattering this storefront with a brick. Cause they're disconnected. Now, if they had to, in turn, learn how to make the glass and reinstall it safely in that spot, they probably wouldn't be doing that. If there was,
I think it's more anonymity. About consequences.
Yeah, the consequences of it. There's no consequence because most people don't even understand, I guess, how good we have it. Like,
right. But no, I mean, I'm sure they understand that it took effort to build the thing. I mean, they think that there will be no consequences. They won't get put in prison for breaking the thing because everyone's already doing it.
I think you're giving people too much credit of being on a conscious level. I think most people are actually, and this includes myself, and this is going to probably be weird, but I feel like I'm on an NPC consciousness level. Like I'm an NPC.
Oh, okay.
And I already said, I don't believe we're in a matrix, but I do think people, it's a good like reference.
Right.
For understanding the world that we are in.
Yeah. So NPC is like a non-player character in a video game, like a computer character that no one controls. Like, yeah.
They basically have reactionary, built-in reactions that like, if A happens, then B, I'll do B. And
do you find yourself just like walking into a wall?
Actually, yeah, I will do that. mostly to entertain my kids because they absolutely love it when I just walk into a wall and pretend like I didn't know it was there.
Oh, yeah, that is hilarious. That's like peak comedy, actually.
Yeah, for them, they're in the slapstick phase. They all lose it when I'm just like talking to them and walking backwards and then just bump into that wall. They just... that is their favorite. And then I act really upset about it. And
who put this wall here? Did you do it?
Exactly. Who moved the wall? Did you? You did this. And I'm upset about it. And then I walk into another wall as I'm trying to leave the room. They just love it.
Yeah.
And then they call me back to do it again. But what I was more getting at is I don't think people understand how good we have it and like the effort and things. Because like even 50 years ago, 60 years ago, people didn't have hot showers.
Yeah. Yeah. And some people now are choosing to use cold water, take cold showers.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, too. That probably has some, I believe that cold showers are good for people. If nothing else, just for the discipline that you can gain by doing something you don't want to do.
Cool showers can be good. Like, cold is like, for me, it triggers kind of a fight or flight response of, oh no, I'm going to die.
Yeah, I think that's what they want you to do.
Well, okay, so I guess I'm seeing a different benefit. So if you're wanting to, you know, put a lot of stress on your body, and I guess that maybe can have some beneficial impacts, but I think more of like the health of your skin, having like a cool shower instead of a hot shower, because hot's going to evaporate like the moisture and suck the moisture out of your skin, whereas... even if you take a warm shower, you finish with a cool shower, just like put it to where it's not super hot.
Yeah, I found that sometimes.
My skin is so much like so much better. It feels a lot healthier after I get out when I do that. But you were talking about, I see the topic is life dysmorphia. So people who, okay, I guess I can get it. So like someone who, they want to get food at a particular fast food restaurant, right? It's closed and they're extremely upset about it. And it's like the worst thing that could have possibly happened, right?
Yeah. The worst thing that's ever happened to you is the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
Yeah.
And we live in such a time of like, I don't know if this is, but like a great like fortune or blessings. We're very blessed, very fortunate to live in this time, because it's like we are in a time where we're the top 1% of 1% of all humanity and the luxuries that we enjoy.
Yeah.
Like there's maybe kings got to have warm baths or something, like nobles, but we get to just have hot showers. Like that's just something we get.
Yeah.
Like, even clean water. Not everyone in the world gets it, but we'll just dump thousands of gallons of it into our lawn every year.
That's true.
pure clean water. We're just dumping it into the ground. Like everything is so magical that we have, and yet we have more depression than ever. Also,
yeah,
like, more people are.
I know we've talked about it before, but sometimes I'll just turn off the radio or a podcast I'm listening to and just sit in silence while I'm driving. And that can be refreshing. But what it also does is I've seen this trend online called like a dopamine detox.
Yeah.
Do you know? So like you basically, it kind of similar to this topic. We are so entertained all the time. Like we've got TikTok on our phone. We've got, you know, videos, things we can read. We can just find information instantly, including entertainment instantly at any time. It can really put things in a different perspective when you just cut yourself off from it for a little while. And you start to kind of appreciate what you have when you take it away for a short while, you know?
Yeah. Huh.
So perspective, I think we can gain it. You do is you just shut off water to your house. Don't tell anyone. And just be like, oh, what do you mean? We never had water before. And then, you know, try to gaslight everyone into thinking it's normal. And then go turn it on and be like, what's this? coming out of the faucets. This is, wow, this is amazing.
I don't think that's actually a terrible idea to like just go without something for a day. Anything, a TV. I think that'd be just good.
Yeah.
Like self a discipline act, but you talked about like just turning off stuff or not having a podcast playing. I think that's a good like meditational thing to do in general, is just to be silent, allow your thoughts to run their course.
Yeah.
Because I think they get stored in there, your thoughts, if you don't. But I'm an NPC, so my program might be a little different. They're just in there. Yeah. But this also makes me think about our next topic, and it's a strange segue, but why are Japanese kids better at math?
So related to the last topic, is it just because culturally do they restrict access to entertainment when they're younger?
No, it's that, I think it's our fear of discomfort is what, might be the big difference.
Okay. So you're not thinking about what makes them better. You're thinking about what makes us worse. Us as in Americans. Worse at math.
You can see it either way. Or their ability to accept discomfort.
So are they the car blocking the left lane, keeping us behind them?
No, they're the person sitting behind that car in the left lane waiting patiently.
Ah.
That is, they are fine with that discomfort. But they did study, like, because Japanese kids versus United States students, there's not much of a comparison as far as like they just blow us out of the water when it comes to math. It's insane how much better they are. There are mathematical terms for the comparison, but I don't understand them because I'm not Japanese. So.
Oh, okay. So they've,
yeah,
all the words are in Japanese when you compare.
No, I mean the mathematical the mathematical concepts are just too advanced, and I only have my American education.
It's probably more a failure of public education.
Well, yeah, and that's a common occurrence. But the real thing that they honed in on exactly what they believe is the difference. And when a student is struggling with a problem, American teachers will only let that happen for a few moments before they're like, here's the answer. Or here's how you solve it.
Okay.
And in Japan, so it's like less than 1% of the time that happens, that children are actively struggling to solve a problem. In Japan, they've focused in on that and making that happen more often. It's about 40% of the time in class they spend struggling with a problem. So, and they're so like tuned in on how to do it, the teacher will actually give wrong answers to force the students to struggle more, to continue the struggle. So they're gaslighting. I don't like that. But with the intent of like, here's a wrong answer, it forces them to like more intently, and I think in some cases become more reliable, because they're like, well, I got the right answer, but I didn't trust myself because someone else in authority told me different.
Yeah.
Now I need to be like more rigorous and redo this over and over again and see where I'm messing up. Be more thorough. Am I messing up here? No. Here they have to actively struggle for much longer. And the teachers do it intentionally to keep them in that zone of learning. And it's worked, because then they get more comfortable.
That's interesting.
Thinking. Yeah.
That's like an interesting take on education. I like the idea of training students to question, like to really, because the part where the teacher could give you a wrong answer, I mean, that happens in general. Often. Like that.
Yeah, it does.
That happens in our schools, like, because I mean, teachers aren't infallible. They can make mistakes. I think there's probably a weird power dynamic where if the kid was like, that's wrong, you know, the teacher might take offense to it, right? Be like, well, I can't be wrong. I'm the teacher. No, you're wrong. I've been teaching for 20 years. I can't be wrong. Like that kind of, you know, pride, I guess you could say. But I'd assume over there, it's probably understood that the teacher could give you a wrong answer, which I think that's a good understanding.
That they might even do it intentionally.
Yeah.
That they may even to test you further, give it, and then it's understood after the first couple times it's happened. It's like, okay, this might be them trying to mess with me, but let me double check the work. Let me struggle through this again and see if I'm, you know, really be sure before I speak out and embarrass myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to approach education to teach people to think, but I don't see us adopting it here anytime soon because I don't.
Yeah, I think we've got so many issues with our public school system that, you know, retraining everyone to approach teaching differently probably just wouldn't be feasible, even if it obviously works.
Yeah, I think what needs to happen, this is, and since you brought it up, I feel okay diving into it, is giving like individual teachers a lot more freedom. Because how it's worked is there's the national level that sort of dictates how and what teachers should be teaching, right? This is the criteria. This is the outline of what your children need to learn within the 12 months, or what is it? 9 months that, oh, it's not 10 months that they're in your care.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. And then, the only thing that happens at the teacher level is some accountability for doing that or not doing that. Anyways, let's think about that over break. All right. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Brother Time.
It's over?
Yeah, that's it. That was it. There is a winner this week.
Okay.
It's the kids in Japan. They won at math.
They did. I can't argue with that. You know, even though I don't know anything about statistics, you tell me that, you know, people in Japan are better at math. I agree with you. But does that make me, is that racist to think that? To just assume that?
And it's a cultural thing, and I think just some cultures are better than others. Is that, and that may be culturist of me. That is that racist to think that? Anyways,
is racism only negative? Like, if it's a negative thing you say about a culture, is it racist?
What, I don't know. What's the opposite of racism, though?
I don't know. The thing is, I think it's just racism either way. It's making a generalization about. You know,
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you like the podcast, please rate us and review us on your podcast listening app. You can also find us online at brothertimepod.com and Facebook.
Brothertimepod.com.